We heard you missed us. We're back. It's live from the Five Hole. Faxes from UncleDale.com's and the Sam Fells But Who's Buying Newsletters official weekly podcast. I am Sam Fells, your host. You can find me on Blue Sky at Fells Gate. We are coming to you after the Olympic quarterfinals, before the Olympic semifinals, so we'll be wrapping up, we'll be previewing. We might even have some spare or stray Hawks thoughts while we're at it. We may have thoughts for other things. We have a bursting yellow pad collectively, not just John, all of us together. So, of course, we are in fatal four-way formation with the usual crew, leading off with Dr. Viral. He is the biggest jackass, no talent in the business, and he's the CEO of WBCW on Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night at 9 Central. You can find him on Blue Sky at Torque Penderloin. It's Andrew Cieslak.
Cop killer through the table. Cop killer through the table.
That's how I describe you to other people, and no one knows who.
That's on them. They're not living a full life.
That's their problem. He is working the ones and twos for us tonight. He's our supervising technician and our technical supervisor, as well as Hollywood's go-to grizzled crank. You can find him on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. Strangely, it's Matt McClure.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth. And last but not least, he's once again clear as a bell. He is the archivist. He is the goal line assassin. He is the oracle of Humboldt Park, and we think he might have actually returned from Manitoba. It's Fifth Feather John.
My cabin is now up for rent.
Rent, not to buy. Just
no.
To rent.
Yep.
Short-term rentals only.
Indeed, only for the summer season.
Hourly rates. All the classy establishments have those.
Mm-hmm. I forgot to add that you cannot find John on Blue Sky at Fifth Feather, but he might find you. He's lurking in the night.
And in the shadows.
Before we get started, a bit of shameless self-promotion. Slack and I, tomorrow night. Is it on the Discord, Slack?
It will be on the Patreon,
in fact. It's on the Patreon. No, I'm sorry, not the
review
Discord.
Will
I meant
be
the,
on
Patreon.
The Patreon. Yes.
It's Josh's Patreon.
Correct.
Josh from Wrestling Brain, his Patreon channel. Slack and I together will be on the TNA review show. That is Thursday night 9-ish, we'll call it.
So you're going to be discussing Big Italian Hooters?
Yes.
Well, we're recording it at 9 p.m. Thursday, okay. And then it will go up that evening. So Patreon.com/J0SHC if you are interested.
Yep.
$5.
$5.
Lots of good stuff in there.
Get you into the Discord, which mm-hmm. Slack and I are in. Yeah. Should be fun. I have not watched TNA. I, as a rule, do not hate watch stuff, but they have convinced me to do it for this week, and we should have some very colorful thoughts. I'm spending 2 hours watching total nonstop action wrestling. So, anyway. Shameless self-promotion out of the way. Gentlemen, John. John has an Olympic... or bursting Olympic yellow pad, which I guess if it's Olympic, it's not just yellow. It's
He's
all
got
colors.
An Olympic-sized swimming pool full of piss.
Yep. And also, but it's also not the Olympic-sized rink. It's the Milan-sized rink. So it's
the Milan mini rink.
A
yep.
Milanese, yeah. If you will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know. Actually, I believe the Milan rink is like a foot and a half wider. Then
it doesn't
NHL
feel
rink,
like it. It
but
does
it
not
is three
feel
feet
like
shorter.
These
yeah.
fucking Italians, they just fucking...
they make it up as they go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you want from me, huh?
So,
it goes enough, yes, right? 20. Come on now.
John sat through 3 games this afternoon. This morning and this afternoon. I don't know if Slack or Matt did. I sat through all 4.
I was in and out at the office.
I got a job, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, well, I don't. And John only claims to have a job. We're not sure.
I'm
but
sure.
It doesn't seem to affect his way of life, so either way.
Well, he's in charge.
Oh, that's right. So, John, you can start us off whatever. You want to start with the U.S., you want to start with Canada, you want to start with Finland, you go ahead.
We'll no, just... let's start from the top. So okay. I missed most of the Slovakia-Germany game. I caught the highlights. You caught all of it.
I caught all of it. Didn't miss much.
This Slovakia team seems a little frisky to me.
Got vibes and juice, John.
They got the vibes and juice. Slavkovsky, right? Did I say this right? Or
yes,
is
Slavkovsky.
This just a...
Or if you were Darren Pang, Slavkowski.
He seems to be coming into his own at this tournament, or just turning it on at the right time. I don't follow the Canadiens or La Habitante all that well.
Lay
Habitant. But to me, this seems like a coming out party for him at this tournament. And the whole Slovakia team, as you mentioned, does seem to have the vibes and juice. And they play kind of in the games that I've seen them play. I didn't see this game this morning, but I saw a few of their pool games or whatever they call them.
Group games? You can go wherever you want with that.
They're a fun group. They play a freestyle and they go up and get after it. And Germany, to me, was leaning too – well, I mean, I don't know that they had much of a choice, but it seemed like everything ran through Leon.
And he wasn't up to the task.
No.
And the surprisingly German J.J. Paterka had no idea that was going on.
Well, that's not as surprising as J.J. Moser being Swiss. That one caught me off guard. And Teddy Bluger being Latvian?
Is he actual Latvian, or is it like a garbage Chelios on Team China?
He's got the Kvorka, so they put him on Latvian.
Well, that could go either way. Mm-hmm. They do have vibes with juice. I will say I've watched more Canadians hockey this year than I should.
Oh, no, he's legit Latvian.
Than anyone should, especially someone who does not live in Montreal or Canada. But I will say Slefkovský has been not maybe this good, but very good all season. And I suppose that is a way for Hawks fans to be encouraged about previous top five picks they've made. Maybe it does take some of them a little longer than others. But the line of Suzuki, Caulfield, and Slefkovský has been a lot of fun to watch. They
what about
do
Kirby
have
Doc? How's he doing?
He stinks. And he's hurt. But you're right. There is some vibes and juice to the Slovakia team. This tournament's so weird. I can't get a handle on it. Like, they clearly caught Finland napping. Like, first game out of the chute, and they were just more up for it than Finland was. But despite the goal difference shenanigans, they were well behind Sweden. Like, Sweden really did, I feel like, put them in their place. But it doesn't really matter. They get the bye. Sweden gets an easy qualifying round. And then they get a pretty sweetheart matchup with Germany, whose top end fooled me. I looked at Dreisaitl, I look at Stützle, who Matt and I are big fans of. I look at Paterka, who I really like. And I'm like, oh, there's a lot here. Mo Sider, despite his, you know, club leanings, is a really good player. And I'm like, oh, there's something here to Germany. Germany could be the surprise team. And then, without knowing, because I have no way of knowing who these people are, the bottom end of the Germany roster, not up to it. Just not ready for prime time.
Well,
no.
And Philipp Grubauer is clinically dead at this point.
He's got a 916 in the NHL this year, though. Like, he's a good goalie. But
alas.
Alas.
We wave goodbye to the Germans.
We wave goodbye to the Germans.
No one has ever said to see them leave.
No, it's true.
I told that crowd a fucking thousand times.
we'll get back to Slovakia.
Okay.
But then the next game, of course, was the Canadians versus
Czechia,
which I thought was the game of the day. I just feel like Canada is a must watch at these events, especially with McDavid and McKinnon and McCarr. There's just, to me, and who?
Celebrini.
Oh, and Celebrini, yes. Mm-hmm. Sorry. For Hawks Reddit, I forgot.
Yep.
I want to say a word about Celebrini before we get going, John. Before you work up ahead of Steve.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
And I'm not here to say Celebrini is overrated or a fraud or anything. He's a great player. He's a lot of fun to watch. But for any Hawks fan, we are Hawks-centric. At least we say we are. Who's freaking out or feels the need to defend Connor Bedard's honor or whatever.
Grow up.
I don't know why you would, but they're out there. I see them. I'm fairly sure Connor Bedard could probably score on a line with Connor McDavid.
I think that's the point that people aren't realizing is that Celebrini's success means Bedard should have been on the team.
Is that what it means?
He obviously would have been great. It's not like it's hard. Like, everyone's like, oh, Celebrini scored that first goal. I'm like, I mean, McDavid did the whole thing.
Right. Yes.
I mean, come on.
I'd like to think if Bedard is teed up from between the circles with no one around.
Yeah, he just has to be there, which I know he knows where to be.
Yeah. Anyway,
the saying goes, a blindfolded glass of orange juice could score on a line with...
Could he have put up 7 points against France or whatever Celebrini did? Real.
Yeah, I doubt it. Really hard.
This is like, you know, this is like when
you
we...
know who couldn't put up 7 points against France? I got a guy for you.
Who?
Austin Matthews.
Austin Matthews.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, no, this that's the team that he would put 7 points up against.
But yeah. Well, this is like when... Whenever there's a rookie, and it's always a Hawks rookie, but and they're like, oh, well, they're going to send him back to junior. And people are like, oh, he really needs that. And John's line is, what does he need to put up 6 points on Denmark children? What does that do?
Nothing.
Is he going to learn good habits that way?
You break your wrist and ruin your NHL career. That's what you do.
Anyway, John.
What I was getting to was basically that I mentioned this on the real show, the text thread today, but watching McDavid and MacKinnon play together, it must be what the 12 people that watched the 87 Summit Series were thinking, or Canada Cup, when Lemieux and Gretzky
Summit Series.
Oh, okay. Thank you. When Lemieux and Gretzky were playing together in their prime.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they played together again, I think in 96, and, you know, Gretzky was at the end at that point. Lemieux was on an artificial back.
None of
that. Yeah, I don't even know if remember if he was on that team.
He was up to 2.5 packs of Kents a day.
So, yeah, I mean, Canada to me is the most fun.
Or was he a Benson and Hedges man?
They also have the most drama because Canadians seem to care about this. Like, their livelihoods depend on the outcome of the game, which I just find hysterical.
They wear custom suits like Cardinals fans used to.
It's insane. I don't know why they care so much, why it's so important to them. But I mean,
this is it for them, right? This is it.
That's why U.S. winning is so funny, because we're almost like, if they lose, we don't really fucking care.
We don't really care. Right? And if we win, it's funny
as hell.
Yes.
I mean, Slack, I think you'd agree. It's probably no different than the English in the World Cup, right? Like, there is no other sport to distract them. I mean, they would say rugby or whatever, cricket.
Except Canada actually wins every so often.
Yeah, but Canada actually does
win. Well, pretty consistently for the last 24 years.
Right, but like, you know, we know enough Canadians where, okay, they've won the last two best-on-best Olympics, but if they lose this one, that will matter more than the two they won.
Of course.
Yeah, they'll never forget it.
I think the post of the day came during midway through the second period when Crosby had to leave, with a friend of the show, Scott Lewis, posting, "A nation comes to grips with the moral reality that Google searches of how to report Radko Gudas to ICE spiked from coast to coast on Wednesday afternoon."
You know, I watching that game today, and I feel like Radko Gudas is one of those players where everyone misses the point of Radko Gudas. Yes, he is a physical player, and yes, he sometimes is dirty. Radko Gudas is also a really good defenseman.
Yes, he's and has been for a very
long
time.
Like, he does all those things, and yes, he's an asshole. But you never hear that. You know, it's Tom Wilson's
he's like if Roman Polak were good.
Right, exactly. I mean, he's like super Michael Roosevelt.
You're triggering me with Roman Polak references.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, John has more Czechia Canada thoughts, I'm sure. But I agree with you, John. Watching McDavid and MacKinnon is not really something we've ever seen. I know, like, Crosby and his pomp with Team Canada was the best player in the world and has been one of the best players in the world for much longer than he has any right to, but he was never as spectacular as McDavid.
Well, and he never had a running mate with him at his level.
I mean, I have said for a while now that McDavid is the greatest player of all time. There's just nothing like this. And then yeah, you have MacKinnon. And even MacKinnon, when he's on the ice there, is just like, no, you do it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just sit back and watch. Like, I don't have to do anything here. So it is, you know, whether you're anti-Canada or you're whatever, pro-Canada, it is a hockey treasure to be cherished.
It's night and day from the U.S. top line of Gensel, Boldy, and Matthews.
Oops, all wild.
Yuck.
I mean, going into today, I don't know why Canada seems so primed for an upset. But Czechia, to me, if they had gotten a 2-goal lead, I feel like they probably would have won that game.
I agree with you. I wrote it. I wonder if this game turns out if they just didn't punt on the second period.
Because they came out just firing at the books out on Binnington. Just put it on him and make him trip over his own fucking dick.
Yeah. They had a breakaway at the end of the game that they didn't convert on that would have won them the game. And I was watching it at work with one of my teammates who actually still plays beer league like you guys do. And
not like John does.
Like John, whatever. The point we were making as it was happening was like, if you're Canada, just get to OT, you're going to win. But instead, you had Devin Taves just trying to fire something from the blue line.
Right.
Like, what are you doing? Like, the situational awareness there was shocking. And that, if anything, will be the Achilles heel of this team if they don't win the gold. They're obviously the best team, but like, that is stupid.
I mean, I'm not wholly convinced they really are head and shoulders above the U.S., but they play differently. John, you tell me. I wrote about this in my wrap-up of the day. I was really surprised at how kind of meh Canada looked today when McDavid wasn't on the ice. Now, is that just a measure of how good he is and everyone was having normal shifts? Or do they just not look all there?
Well, that's kind of my point, is that it seemed like they were just, like I said, primed for an upset because nobody was really all there for them. Like that Hagel line just looked bad and uninspiring. They didn't look good at all, not crisp. And to me, Czechia, if they had
Chechnya,
say Czechia in Boar's voice.
I don't like all these Czechia. Countries changing their name over the last few years. Czechia. Like, come on.
If they had not punted on that second period and maybe looked for a way to extend their lead, I think you really would have tightened the screws on Canada going up 2 goals. I mean, no lead is obviously safe with Canada because you could put McDavid and McKinnon, they could have one shift and that'll change the outcome of a game. But still, I mean, the vibe of that game, it felt like anything more than a 1-goal deficit was gonna really turn the heat up on them, and it never happened. And sure enough, like even taking the lead late in the third, it never really felt like Canada wasn't gonna tie it up.
As exciting as that Czech goal was, and seeing the emotion of it, like I thought, like okay, when they pull the goalie, there's no way you're gonna stop them,
right?
Like I thought it would be like last 2 minutes. I certainly didn't see a Nick Suzuki tip from the circle being the tying goal. But yeah, I was like, okay, if you have a 1-goal lead against this team in the last minute, they're going to score.
Right. It's like in football, if you give the ball back to whatever the quarterback of the year is with three timeouts and a minute and a half left, you're losing the game.
Right, you're not going
to
win.
Yeah, like, you need to be up by 3 scores.
Right.
So that's pretty much what you have to do against Canada. And I don't see any team the rest of the way in that's capable of having that sort of lead on them. I think maybe if you get into a coin flip of a 3-on-3, and I want to get to the 3-on-3, I guess my thought here at this point, because this is the game that started the trend of all the 3-on-3 overtimes, watching them, they're completely different than what you see in the NHL. They're way more – every player obviously is an all-star. These are all-star games. They're way more conscientious of where they are on the ice and where the other team is. Nobody's just flying up the ice looking to pot a goal because they know if they miss, it's coming back the other way on them on a 3-on-1, 2-on-1.
It's all half-court sets like in basketball.
Right, right.
Way more – it is cagier. I don't – You know, I when I read that it was going to be 3-on-3 overtime, I thought it was stupid. I thought it was stupid in the juniors. I think it's stupid at the World Championships. But apparently, they've been doing this in the IIHF for a while. They do it in European leagues. The NHL has sort of spread this throughout. So I guess it's fine. Like I thought like, oh, this is even more of an advantage for Canada and the U.S. because they all play in the NHL. But like, because you know these other teams wouldn't do this. They wouldn't have played it, but I guess they do. I think it's a terrible way to end a game, but you know, I don't. You know how I am about shouting at the rain.
It wasn't as offensive to me as it would have been. It didn't feel as gimmicky as the NHL 3-on-3, just because I felt like they played it more, like, as we said, half-court sets.
I think
so. It didn't feel fluky.
I think not switching ends makes a bigger difference than you'd think. Like, that there's not a long change for it. I think it's also another way, like, I don't know, we'll get to the U.S., but just a quick side on that. You probably noticed this, John, for the U.S. overtime, they kept sending out Trocheck to take the draw.
Yeah.
And then
and he kept losing them.
And then he'd rush off, and it's like, you know, other guys on this team can probably take a face-off.
Yeah, you have an all-star team. Well, supposedly, but
supposedly, but, and we'll get to that. I feel like Czechia was prime for this game ever since the tournament started. Like, I feel like Czechia, like the European teams have just like kind of just ignored the group stage. They're just like, it doesn't really matter. You know, Slovakia, okay, they went hard so they could get the bye or whatever. But like once Finland and Sweden and Czechia, once these teams are like, oh, we're not going to win, after the first game, like, oh, we're not going to win the group. Yeah, we'll just sort of wait it out, and we'll play for real when it matters, and they all did, and it didn't work out for Czechia and Sweden, but like that's by a coin flip. It's not by poor strategy.
Yeah. I thought it was funny that Marner of all people scored the goal, because of course half of Canada, which are Maple Leafs fans, and he ditched them. So that was funny.
Great goal.
Well, but now we know who was really holding back the Leafs, and it wasn't Marner.
Right, right. And it's also funny now that they're still happy that it was Marner that scored. They're trying to say that they're happy that that Marner scored. It doesn't bother them.
We know you're
them.
Not. Like, yeah. We know you're lying.
Yes, we know you're lying.
That's fine, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, other than that, I thought that was the game of the day. I just think that Canada is the most entertaining team to watch in this tournament. And of course, they have the most drama behind it, which I feel like most of it is self-induced. I don't feel like Team USA basketball has the sort of drama that the Canadian hockey team brings.
They did
to
when
it.
They were losing.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know, John. There was a whole segment about MJF giving it to Isaiah to make sure he wasn't on the dream team.
Right, but
they got there. They were just steamrolled. There wasn't like agita or anxiety about them ever losing a game.
No, ever since 2008 when they decided they were going to take it seriously again, because they didn't win in 2004, right? That's the year they lost. They had Kobe and LeBron, and then everyone was like, okay, we're going to take this. I feel like the U.S. has taken – U.S. basketball has taken the Olympics very seriously.
Yes, but they don't bring the emotional baggage with it, it doesn't feel like, that Canada does with hockey.
Yeah.
For whatever, I don't understand why they have that emotional baggage. Like we said, they've won every one of these when the NHL players have played in it, right?
Well, they didn't win in 98 and they didn't win in 2006.
Okay. So they've lost two of them. Oh, my God.
They lost two of the five.
Yeah.
The whore. This is five.
But yeah, and then so then they get the winner now of Canada will be playing the winner of the next game, which segues. Which was the Finland Swiss game. And now I find Switzerland to be fascinating. The team,
the country's fascinating too. But
yes. But I find the team to be fascinating just because they kind of came out of nowhere over the last 10, 15 years, ever since basically Niederreiter. They've sort of stepped up in a level to which they weren't before. I always felt like they were kind of on the cusp of,
this is erasure of Swiss legend Nat Domenkelly.
Oh, how could I forget? But I do feel like
they NHL were, 98 guy.
They were always a team that always felt like they were on the cusp of being relegated to that tier two of IIHF or whatever.
Double IIHF.
But they're solidly in it now, and I felt like if they had gotten through, I felt like that Swiss team was going to medal, whether it be in the gold medal game or winning the bronze.
Yeah, they're the kind of team that loses a semifinal but takes the bronze medal game much more seriously than whoever they play.
Yep. And they would have won it. And for them, and I thought their goaler was just out of his mind today. And the Finland team is just kind of boring. And I didn't notice. Again, I wasn't paying super close attention. I wasn't locked in on these games, but I didn't notice Tavo getting a whole bunch of shifts in that third period.
Who's the Swiss goalie? Is it David Abisher?
No, it's a European goalie. He doesn't play here.
Yeah, he was really good.
You don't know him. He goes to a different school.
Yeah. You don't know him.
Is it Rito von Arkst?
No, not Rito von Arkst.
Nor was it.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Was
like, that was
Sven Andraghetto.
Yeah, these are like the this was used to be Swiss royalty in hockey. These names that you're
right,
but
now like listening. Genuine top line players. No, Joe Meyer is like a genuine NHL top sixer.
Roman Josi. Right.
Yeah.
Isn't there a captain some dope that plays over there though, rather than fucking Roman Josi?
Yeah, but like they all like the Czechs captain is the 40-year-old dude, and they all worship him, and it just works like that because like
is it Vigo the Carpathian?
Yes, they put so much weight in those World Championships. Like if you play in the World Championships every year, like you matter more to those to the program, to the fans.
Apparently, that is also the case for Canada.
Yeah, apparently. Tavo skated 11:58, John.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing him out there very much in the third when they were chasing those goals or in the overtime. I don't think he got a shift in the overtime.
So what does he get, like a week off?
Before he has to go back and play for the shitty ass.
He had 1:48 in the third. You were right, John. Once again, your powers of observation.
Thank you. Well, they were lacking in the USA-Sweden game, but we'll get there. I felt like Switzerland kind of, I don't know if I don't want to say let Finland off the hook, but it did feel like in the third
they let them off the hook. I'll say it for you.
They just felt like they were trying to hang on rather than go and get it. And Finland is not that deep of a roster. I don't feel like as opposed to years past.
Doesn't Armia play on like their second line or something? Like
he's skated 14 minutes, so he's getting serious time.
Not that he's
bad. You know how I feel about
like
Eric Halla.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel about
more wild. Too many fucking wild.
Oops, all wild.
Yeah. Hall is not a wild anymore, is he?
No. He was. He's wild. He was. Stink.
Yeah. He's wild a devil for life. Now.
He is a yeah. That sounds right.
You should know that.
I should. They're my devils.
I forgot.
No, Eric Hall is something. He's a predator. That's where he's always meant to be.
No, wild is where he's meant to be.
He's. If not there, then
how old is he?
He's 34.
That is old for hockey.
Yeah.
The one thing I noticed too at the end of the game, Finland doesn't have any right-handed, really threats, in their forward core. Everybody's it's all lefties. Like
did they not take Laine, or is he hurt or dead?
He's ouchy.
Yeah, he's dingy.
He's ouchy and stupid.
And ugly.
There was a moment, I don't know, Sam, if you remember this, before they scored the tying goal, but there was a little scramble in front, and Grandlin was on the left side of the net.
Oh, yeah, him too. He's the fucking wild legend.
He was the puck squirted over to him, and if he was a right-handed shot, it would have landed right on his blade, and he would have had an empty net to tie the game at. But because he was a lefty, he got kind of like handcuffed, and the puck just kind of went through his legs. And I was looking around, and literally the thought crossed my head as whoever, I can't remember who scored the tying goal, but it was Finland had six lefties out on the ice at that point, and they got the puck over on, it was Heiskanen, right?
Yep.
They got it over to his side, and of course he scored because he shot it off the Swiss defender in front. But I was thinking like, man, how is it that they don't have any sort of right-handed shot that can get out there in that game? Because you're essentially just taking away one side of the ice on your own with doing that.
Right.
Because there's nobody that can be on that offside to fire in a one-timer if the puck squirts out to you in a rebound situation. I just thought it was odd. But it ended up working out for them. And then again, in the overtime, I don't know what happened. They really didn't show it. I thought it – he could have slowed it down to make sure that guy, he was onside.
Laikkanen.
Yeah, that Laikkanen was onside. But they never did it. They just showed it in fast motion. And I'm like, well, you know, the way that they stop frame by frame for offsides in the NHL, they didn't really bother with that in this one,
right.
Which I guess is fine. I'm fine with that.
Who needs it? I thought of you, John. And I'm skipping ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a John hates Eddie Olczyk moment.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to ask John and Matt, because he was yelling at Philip, he was basically yelling at Philip Forsberg
Yes, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Is there a term when a puck arrives and it's really not on your forehand or your backhand? It's like perfectly centered and you can't really take it.
Yeah, it handcuffs you.
Handcuffs, right? Like it's just, he's like, I can't believe he didn't shoot that puck. How is he not shooting it? And they show the replay and like Forsberg grabs the rebound and is like literally right between his forehand backhand. I'm like, Eddie, how do you want him to shoot it? Do you want him to shuffle it?
Yeah, basically shove it towards the net.
So he's like, the only thing he can do is try and like get it over to his teammate because he has no leverage to shoot it. And then he's like, well, I can't believe you shot it. I was like, no wonder you weren't a great scorer. And he, like, you were just... yeah, I mean, Finland in these tournaments are just, you look at them and you're like, oh, they're not that good. And then they just end up in the semifinals.
Yep.
You know, like the Four Nations, you're like, oh, they're not that good. And then they just beat Sweden. They just do. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And I think part of the reason that, you know, you see a team like Switzerland, and they really did turtle at the end of it, and Czechia is sort of the same thing. You know, they have a way of playing, and I think they use it in the World Championships because they're using mostly their European squad, right? They don't know which NHLers are going to get. They kind of have to make it up on the fly, so they have this national identity. And then in a tournament like this where they do have the full roster and they do have the full talent, they can't really change. You know, they can't change how they play because, like, I'm not saying Switzerland should be, you know, guns of the Navarone and really going out there and after it, but like you have more, you could do more than just try and like sit back and trap and try and nurse a 2-0 lead. Go get a third goal.
Yeah, you had a 2-goal lead from the first period.
Right.
And you did nothing in the second. Again, that another team that punted, I felt like, on the second period because it was 2-0 heading into the third, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They gave up 2 goals in the last 5 minutes.
Right.
You're asking for it. I one of these dynamics I'm always interested in about these Olympics, and you never find out, is these NHL players who come to the team and they're playing for European coaches, and I sort of wonder how seriously they take them. You know, like if they line up for the World Championship, it's like, okay, we're doing you a favor. I know it matters more to them than it does to North American players, but like, it's probably not that high on the list of priorities. The Olympics matters to everyone. So if you're, you know, Timo Meier or Siegenthaler or the other NHLers on Switzerland or the entire Swedish team, and, like, you're listening to this coach, you're like, well, wait a minute. I play for this guy for my job. Why am I listening to this dope? You know? Like, if you're on the Swedish bench and you're watching Jesper Bratt, who has 2 85-point seasons in the NHL, I have to stress, and they're like, he can't even get on the ice.
For 2 periods.
Right, for 2 periods. You know, meanwhile, Pontus Almberg or whatever is getting 9 minutes. And you're probably sitting there going, this guy has no fucking idea what he's doing. Why are we doing this?
That was the weirdest thing. So I was done with the Swiss-Finland game. We can move on if you're ready.
Yeah, let's move on to the U.S. because I know I differ from Slack and the rest here. So,
well, I think we need to cue the kids in on my new favorite bit, which is Andrew's hatred of Austin Matthews.
Terrible.
It's a great bit, kids. Let me tell you. He hates Austin Matthews.
He's
so
much
a fucking loser. Like, he just is. Reeks. He's like a sad, sad man who just is all empty calories. That's just, that's it. He's, yeah. I don't know, man. If I had to watch him, if I was a Leafs fan, I would be done. I think I would give up. I would just not.
The 70 goals potential doesn't do a lot for you.
I'm going to half defend Austin Matthews. Half.
You can.
And I look, I don't see him spearheading any winner anytime soon. But I think part of the problem is, you know, Toronto, from the moment he arrived, from the moment he became a Maple Leaf, they have been saying, well, we can't be this offensive. We can't
pause, though, real quick? That moment was, how many years ago did he become a Maple Leaf?
2016.
Okay, 10 years. It's been 10 years. Go ahead.
So every year he's been in Toronto, they have said, we have to be more of a playoff hockey team. You're seeing it now. They have gotten rid of more and more offensive players. They have to grind. They're like, oh, we have to grind. You know, everything's got to be on the cycle. We have to play in the corners. And look at where it's getting them now. They're going to miss the playoffs. And so I feel like Matthews has morphed his game to what Leafs Nation and the Leafs organization has asked, because if you look at his stats, he hardly ever scores off the rush anymore. And I look at him, and I really can't wait for the day that he leaves Toronto, and he will not finish his career in Toronto.
He can't. If he has any respect for himself, he has to leave at some point.
And, you know, I have fantasies of it being here. Of course, I know it won't be, but he goes to some team that resets him and just says, go play. And I think
when he's over 30, though?
Yeah, I mean, he might not. It's not going to be a 60-goal season again, but he'll still be 40. He'll have, like, one great season. And he'll probably win the cup, and I think that'd be delicious. Like, I want to see that happen and watch Toronto fall into Lake Ontario. Like, I just want it. Anyway, you find him punishing to watch.
I just feel like, to me, for watching Austin Matthews in the Four Nations and then watching him in these Olympics and then watching, of course, every game seven that Toronto loses, he just doesn't seem like the guy in a gotta-have-it moment that you can count
He's
on.
He's not a killer.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go down a list of guys that we've seen over the last 15, 20 years when you knew that they would be heard from at some point. And in these games, you know that Matthews is going to get a chance, and you know he's not going to do anything with it. Okay. You know, in the Four Nations championship game, he had three prime scoring opportunities in that overtime and did nothing with them.
Right.
McDavid got one, and it was game over.
He's the guy who needs to strike fear in the opposition when he's on the ice, and it just isn't. It doesn't look that way at all.
No, it doesn't. And
it certainly doesn't look that way anymore. I think he did,
and he gets those chances, but he just doesn't do anything with them in December.
Ottawa. Who gives a fuck?
Well, even today in the game, I think it was either with a minute or so to go after Sweden tied it, or maybe with a couple minutes left. He got a prime scoring opportunity right in the slot and just put it in Markstrom's pads.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, it is what it is. Like, I expect if Team USA is going to win anything, he needs to get hot and now.
Well, I expect them to beat Slovakia, but...
You expect them to, but, like, it also wouldn't shock me if Slovakia won. I mean,
right, yeah, because... if the U.S. tries to play another one of these 2-1 wins, it's not going to happen against Slovakia.
Well, we know Slovakia has a killer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're on house money, and they're feeling it right now.
And the U.S., again, was another team today that let the other team hang around. Sure enough, what happens? You're going to give up a chance.
Right.
I mean, from the start of the third period, and Sam, you wrote about this, and so I'm stealing a bit of your thunder here.
Please.
But it just felt like every time the U.S. had their defense, which is, of course, is like probably their biggest strength on the team, every time they got the puck, they were just looking to chip it up and out. They weren't looking to drive the play, carry the puck into the Sweden zone. They were just looking to clear the zone, flip it out of the way, and let Sweden come right back and control the puck in the offensive zone.
They could have put Vlasic on the team if that's all the fucking...
yeah, right. That's all you're going to do. Have Alex Vlasic out here. What's the difference?
It was a frustrating game to watch just because it felt like once they scored their one goal, first of all, they made Markstrom look like he was whatever was promised when he came into the league. And he's clearly not that in the NHL. But they, you know, they made him look like he was unscorable.
Right.
Or like he was Henrik Lundqvist in his prime.
Right. Who also never won jack shit.
Right.
Well, he did win a gold medal. Don't be, you know, and, you know, I can't discount that. And if you want to say like, oh, well, he never won a cup, that wasn't his fault.
Right. But the U.S., their top line, we talked about it, Oops All Wild. With Matthews and Guentzel.
Well, I think their top line is the Tkachuks and Eichel, but
yeah, I don't
however
know.
What does Jack Eichel do for you guys right now, current?
I think he's really good. He's got a ring. I mean, I used to be the biggest Jack Eichel hater in the world, and then he was the best player on a cup winner. So
I know. I'm not talking about what he was on a cup winner from how many years ago. I'm asking right now.
In this tournament right now, yes, he does. He's not doing anything for me at the moment, Andrew.
Thank you.
I think he's carrying an anchor.
In Matthew?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he still hurt?
He's unquestionably still hurt.
Yeah. I think if there were no Olympics. And that's the only killer on this team. But like as much as we fucking hate to admit it, the dreaded Laramie is
if there were no Olympics this year, I bet if there were no Olympics this year, I bet Matthew Tkachuk's timeline would have been he'll be back for the playoffs.
Well, all you have now is his brother just trying to punch everybody in the face. That's the whole team. That's the whole plan.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
I mean,
we're mad at you.
Children of St. Louis.
All right. Well, this will get into a larger discussion that I have tried to avoid. But they have made the Tkachuks the emotional center of this team. Or I don't know if they made them or the Tkachuks have just decided that they are the emotional center.
I think the Tkachuks put themselves in the center.
But they've molded the whole team in that fashion. It's all very station to station, and we're going to play below the circles, and we're going to grind it out, and we're going to be tough to play against.
Which, not interested.
But on a North American sheet, though, it's not the worst idea.
Especially on a shorter American sheet.
Considering the amount of skill that also comes with that big bag of knuckles Donnie Schultzhofer. So.
Yeah, but if you end up in the gold medal game against Team Canada and you get outshot 50-2 again or whatever it is, like, great.
We talk about that, but like, this is still the same Team USA that basically split with Canada last year, except now it has Quinn Hughes.
I'd rather watch Four Nations games, I think, than these. I'm just gonna say that, but anyway, go ahead.
That's my thought, but like, it is, you know, when I feel like when I see a lot of people, and I don't disagree with it, I guess sort of get the same emotion, who are just like, yeah, the selection process of the U.S. hockey, USA hockey, and if you want to have, you know, where our country is at the moment, enter into it, that's fine. I understand. You know, and then they add, you know, how the team is, and it's like, yeah, I don't know that the other players, you know, maybe they just have a really quiet team besides the two Tkachuks. Like, the other guys are just kind of reserved, and these guys can just stroll right into the center of the room and declare themselves the heartbeat of it. And it's hard to warm up to. I mean, Matthew's a great player. He's hurt and he's not helping. And Brady's a really good player. I used to think he'd be a third round pick if his last name was Funtaeus. He's a really good player. But you know, to mold the whole team in their image,
remember who's the GM of this is too.
Doesn't help.
Right, his pappy's friend. Or Pappy's friend, yeah.
He's Pappy's best buddy.
Well, and everyone, like, Bill Guerin just put a bunch of himself on the fucking roster.
He did. I wrote about this today. I thought the selection process was borked, but I didn't get bent out of shape about it because it's like, well, we're talking about one or two spots here and it really shouldn't matter. You know, like, it's not that they, you know, I hate JT Miller, but it's not like he's bad. You know, and Vincent Trocheck isn't bad. I mean, I think Jason Robertson is better than both of them, but it shouldn't, you know, that's not the difference shouldn't be the difference, but I didn't realize that sort of attitude would, like, purvey all the way down to the coaching staff and how they play. As I wrote today, once I saw Tortorella on the coaching staff, I should have known. It was just so bewildering because, like, as good as Sweden is, and they've got a good squad, like, the U.S. can outskate them. They can outscore them. They can just blow them right off the rink if they wanted to, especially with this defense. And I guess that's what, on a hockey sense...
And they don't even have Seth Jones available.
They don't even have Seth Jones. Which is so confusing about this team is, like, you look at that defense, you're like, wow, this team can really get up and go, and then they just don't.
Well, one guy did.
One guy can do it by
they don't,
himself.
They don't have Seth Jones, and they don't have Lane Hutson on the fucking team.
Right. I mean, you
and
could
they
have
still
Lane
can.
Hutson. And they still can. The one guy doesn't need any help.
I don't watch Jack as much as Sam, obviously, because it's Sam's doubles. But in watching, I always am just drawn to his skating. He is like floats around the ice. It's incredible.
So
to watch.
His brother.
Yeah, he's fun. Mm-hmm. Really fun player.
If anything, for the young Cretans out there, to me, it's the closest thing I've ever seen to a Dennis Savard on the ice. The way he just can turn effortlessly and still control the puck and just kind of he's so just mesmerizing.
Smooth.
To watch.
Yeah.
Graceful.
It's a different he you know, there are guys who they get the puck and with whatever they do with the game just sort of slows around them. Like Kane used to do it with his hands,
mm-hmm.
and Vision, you know, Hughes does it with his skating. Like everyone's so afraid to make a move around him because he'll just go around you.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who don't get to watch him, I mean, this is why, because he and Bedard are about the same size. And this is why I keep ending up comparing them. Cause I'm like, well, if you're going to be this size, I wonder if you have to be able to move like this. No one moves like Jack Hughes or Quinn Hughes, but he is mesmerizing. He can be.
Mm-hmm. And then his brother Quinn, obviously, with the scored the game winner. I mean, he created that whole play on it because of his skating. He created all that room because what's his face? Landeskog was not going to chase him, and so he stayed.
I mean,
at
it
wouldn't
be a good idea to.
No. And so seeing that, then Quinn just took all the room that Landeskog gave him, and then until he didn't have any more room, and then shot it and put it in a spot where Markstrom couldn't get it. And that was it.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
Phone call over.
Phone call over.
And I guess, like, you know, it's good that they won. I'm glad it was Quinn Hughes that scored. I'm glad that it was his brother Jack that set up the first one. Again, Eddie, can't wait to tell you that it's a set play off a face-off. Eddie, every fucking face-off has a set play. It just so happens that some of them go in, okay?
Right.
Not every coach is calling a set play on every fucking face-off. It's not a big thing at this point. You don't have to call it out every time there's a set play, because every play has – every face-off has a set play.
Especially if you win it clean. Like, there are
right.
Yeah. Eddie, shut the fuck up. You know what's funny is that now that Pierre's not doing it and Brian Boucher's between the bench, the relationship has flipped. Now it's Eddie always checking in with Boucher between the benches instead of Pierre McGuire between the benches always checking in with Eddie.
And then I don't know if this is just a thing because, you know, he gives me agita, or if this is actually him trying to be a nice guy and make sure everybody's part of the team. But I don't know. It just rankled me when I heard him call Catherine Tappan KT. Just call it Catherine, Eddie. But then I was like, okay, he calls Boucher Boosh. So he's trying to give everybody
he's
a
just
nickname
got
on the team.
He's just got terminal hockey brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can't
so
turn
fine.
It off.
All right, fine. It's still great. It grinded my ears when I hear that.
Does Kenny do TNT?
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I believe so. But
I think he's all right for hockey, but he's not.
I like Kenny.
He's fine. I think he's a step down from Emmerich as like the number one guy.
Guy works that he brings back nostalgia from watching shitty Bears games in the early 2000s.
Yeah. we may never get Kenny Albert on a Bears game again.
And kudos to Eddie, I guess, that we have to give him some credit for calling out Jonathan Owens being a Chicago Bear.
Yeah, I mean, fair. It's the one good thing he did.
Yeah. So anyways, looking ahead now to the semifinals, as I alluded to, the Slovakia matchup, you know, Sam, I think you're confident that the U.S. can get through. I'm not feeling that way at this point. I'm a little itchy about that matchup for them. If they try to go into this game,
but Elvis blows.
Yeah.
Elvis is Latvian.
Oh, yeah, well, him too.
I mean, no, Slovakia has the Iowa Wild, a guy who has like an 860 in the AHL or something, but he's been playing out of his mind.
Martin Dubravka?
Yeah.
Yeah, Hlavka?
I just don't like the idea of the U.S. trying to go
Newcastle.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, Dubravka. Yes, very good.
Hlavaj.
I don't like the vibes that I'm seeing from this U.S. team in these games, and I think they were alluding to it on the broadcast that, you know, that they're going to play this like a game seven. Just play the game like you're better than the other team.
Yeah.
Don't play the game like it's a game seven.
Right. Yeah.
Which ends up resulting in conservative bullshit.
Right. Let's not make a mistake.
It's a game seven. And hey, good news. Austin Matthews is on your team.
Your team rules.
Your team rules.
Something he excels at.
I'm with you. Like it's not a game seven. It's you're the better team and you need to act like it. And, you know, I mean, I don't know enough about how a world junior team is picked, but it always feels like, at least the past few years, where the U.S. has won, what, the three of the past five world juniors? Or
around,
something like that?
Yeah, something around that.
Certainly more than Canada.
Hey,
has.
Someone should get that coach.
Right.
Sounds like he's doing a good job.
Obviously. But, like, when they pick the world juniors team, it definitely feels like, yeah, we just pick the 20 best guys we got and we go out there and play. And when they get to this level, it hasn't dawned on them.
Well, because you're
like,
fucking with people's money at that point, too, because they're all going to get drafted, and that affects draft stock.
Right, yeah, but, like, there's an attitude to that, right? Like, you could just, if you're Team USA now, you're like, you know what? We have been producing players for a decade or more now. We've got depth. We've got more than enough players to match anyone. Let's just go out there and be the best team. And it still feels like they want to play, they want to reenact Miracle.
Or win the Sochi semifinal game.
Right. Well,
but they lost
1-0.
Right.
Well, it's not even the Sochi semifinal. They're still trying to win the 2010 gold medal.
Or, yeah.
Which is, okay, like, that team was clearly not as good as the team it almost beat, but it's not that way anymore.
Right.
And they need to have that. And look, you know what? I think it still might work out for them. You know, I, on an emotional level, I was watching this team through the group stage, and, you know, the Hughes brothers, and I was starting to watch this team. I'm like, oh, all right, if I get past the Tkachuks, there are players here I like. I think Jake Sanderson is great. I really like Zach Werenski. You know, I know Slack doesn't know who Matt Boldy is, but I like Matt Boldy.
Well, I've seen some Matt Boldy. He's right.
All
good.
Wild. Well, are we not all in it for the shots of Ellen Weinberg Hughes also?
Oh, of course. Yeah, obviously. But then, you know, you see
a legend in her own right on the international stage.
If they get to the gold medal game, the big wet orange Nazi's going to fly in, and it's like, oh, I don't want that.
He's not going out there for that.
That's what I read.
Oh, jeez.
And who wants that all that?
That is a vibe killer for sure.
Yeah,
big time vibe.
More than the Tkachuk star for sure.
Slack and I will have this discussion in June when the World Cup rolls around, and I definitely feel differently about the U.S. hockey team than I do about the U.S. soccer team. And I'm not here to, if you're conflicted, that's cool. I get it. I don't find this team to be as likable. Like, I know in 2010, John, if the U.S. gave up a last minute equalizer, I'm kicking over a chair. And this time I was just like, huh, it's like the same reaction, you know, when Walter tells the dude that he actually is a pedophile, huh? You know, I'm like, you know, Clint Hughes goes in. I'm not, he was like, oh, cool, I guess. You know, there's just some itchy vibes to the whole thing. But yeah, I that's just where I'm at. I'm going to do a post about that. I don't know if it happens now or right before the World Cup. It's just, I feel like everyone I know who I follow on Blue Sky, people I know personally or just have followed for a long time, everyone's sort of got a weird vibe about this U.S. team, whether it's just they don't think they picked the best team or everything else, but yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, they're doing what the Bears coaches used to do pre-Ben, which was win a game in their head, not the one that's in front of them.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, you know, like
and Mike Sullivan is affirmatively in Matt and Mai's not a moron category. But I don't know.
Single elimination tournaments turn all coaches into absolute, like, trying to piss their own pants imbeciles.
Right. I also think maybe that U.S. hockey blazer is like the old Bears hat. You just put it on and you get dumb. Being on the bench with you makes you dumb. I don't know what it is exactly.
I think USA hockey in general, there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen, probably even more so with Bill Guerin, like beyond Bill Guerin and Sullivan. So they're really trying to make it a collaborative effort. So there's a million different people telling Mike Sullivan what he should do, and he's trying to be a team player. So he's, you know, he's not necessarily probably doing what he would do is.
Again, if they want to learn lessons from Miracle, it's her.
Get the fuck out of the way. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I will say if you're, and like, I think Doug Armstrong's a moron too, but if you're the GM and coach of either Canada or the US, right. And like, there's a lot of pressure on that position. You're expected to do a lot. So you probably sit around and go, oh, geez, I can't just sit here and go play. You know, like, I have to really look like, you know, because even John Cooper's getting like, oh, I got to match these lines and these lines have to be good. And who do I put? It's Team Canada, dude. Just send them out. You know, who fucking cares?
Send your Hall of Fame line out.
Like it's going to work out for him, but it's like, oh, you know, Jordan Binnington, he's been clutch. And it's like, shut up. Just put Logan Thompson out there. It'd be the same fucking thing. Like, what are you talking about? You have Connor McDavid on your team who's clearly, like, on one. What do you have to do? Nothing. Like, if you're Doug Armstrong, you're like, oh, God, I got to name Team Canada. This is so stressful. It's like, all right, Connor McDavid, one C, Nathan McKinnon 2C. Who fucking cares for the rest of it?
Like, yeah. What, oh, no, what's it's Sidney Crosby 3C.
3C. What's the difference?
Rob Zaminer 4C.
You should, like, when they announce Team Canada, he should show up to the press conference with, like, a beer and a cigarette.
Right. So,
yeah,
right.
Here's the fucking team.
But yeah, I mean, looking ahead to the semifinals, I think the Canada-Finland game, I don't think that's going to be close at all. I think that
if Finland had a goalie, I trusted. I think it would be close, but I don't trust Juice.
Yeah, UC Soros is.
Sam's a size queen when it comes to goalers.
I am a size queen when it comes to goalie and old. I mean, he's over 30 now.
I mean, you could see there's all that room above his shoulders still.
Yeah.
That's just not going to.
John thinks he could pick a corner.
I absolutely could.
I mean, he's smaller than Al Montoya.
I have a theory about Al Montoya, by the way, and everybody lighting him up at Rat Time with a story. I think that people were confusing him with his brother because he would just wear his brother's equipment. So it was like when Hector thought he killed Achilles.
Right.
But it was
it always comes back to the siege of Troy.
let me be clear for the kids here. That might be our first Troy reference on this podcast.
It won't be
years.
The last as Odyssey
sure
comes out
won't.
This summer.
You're going to go see it, aren't you?
Absolutely, Sam.
He's already in line all the way up in mm-hmm. Manitoba.
Uh-huh.
No, standing next to large Guller Connor Hellebuck.
But I don't like, you know, if U.S. tries to go in and again win a 3-1 game against Slovakia, they're going to be in for one. Again, as you mentioned, the goaler on Slovakia is probably not going to stop 35 of 36 shots like Markstrom did today in regulation or whatever it was. But, yeah, I want to see them open it up a bit and just play like you're the better team.
Yeah, just show up and
play,
do whatever you
like
want.
Play like you're an undefeated team in this tournament that wants to go at Canada. But, yeah, I mean, other than that, I think today was a really what's the word I'm looking for? Satisfying Olympic hockey best on best, as the Canadians
right,
love to call
it. This is what they designed. This is what they wanted out of it. I will say the difference between this is, and we talked about it before the tournament and I think we talked about it when the team was announced. We definitely talked about it before the tournament. Team USA designs a team and fashions their playing style to beat Canada. Canada fashions a team to win the tournament. And that's how the U.S. keeps getting caught, because if they don't get, you know, they get caught by a team that's not Canada, they're like, wait, no, we weren't designed for this. or they get to Canada and it just means, like, 2014, the last game of the Four Nations, and what I feel like will happen in the gold medal game is the game actually just means too much to them. They're too intent on, we're going to get in Canada's heads, we're their kryptonite, you know, we're going to bother them. And like McDavid's like, yeah, okay, whatever, dude.
Yeah.
But,
we're
going to
pump 75 shots on your goaler and four are going to go in.
Despite right. Tom Wilson's best efforts to undo it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a weirdo. I thought it was automatic. You got suspended for a fight, but what do I know?
I thought so too.
But, well, did we see that the French guy got suspended by his own federation?
Yeah, he did. Let me ask you this, John, because I wrote about it today. How long had Andrej Palat's winner or goal been the winning goal? Had it ended 3-2? How long would the nation of Canada wailed about the too many men on the ice?
Forever. Forever and ever. They would have changed the rules in the NHL for you to be able to review too many men on the ice.
Too many men on the ice.
Maybe, they would have, maybe, then, they would have maybe made... then Down Goes Brown would shut the fuck up about Carey Fraser then.
They would force the IOC or the IIHF to change its rule that you could review too many men on the ice. It would have been like the hand of God.
They would have made live. So that, like, everyone in the arena could see when six men were on the ice.
Yeah.
Like, there would
never
be, like,
again.
There'd be, like, a red light or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and in some ways, I'm glad Canada won, because it's like, Oh God. Can you imagine? Could you imagine listening to that? I
yes,
mean,
I could
it was
imagine.
an egregious miss.
It was, and I was not locked in at that moment, so I didn't see it. All I saw was the 3-on-2 that went in. But
I didn't
obviously,
I didn't notice it until after the goal was scored, and then I was like, "Why are there six guys in this celebration?"
Maybe they're maybe they're doing miracle style where everyone pours off the bench.
Right. I thought, everyone's like, you know, the change, like, but I was like, it's kind of weird. There's six guys in the celebration, and they go in Blue Sky and they show like the screenshot, like, you guys are making it too obvious. Like, one of you's got to, like, shuffle off, you know? Oh, well. Anyway.
That concludes Olympic Hockey Corner.
That concludes Olympic Corner. Yeah.
What a segment.
Do we have... Yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it. Do we have any loose Hawks thoughts as they return to practice today? Kevin Korchinski's back.
The countdown to healthy scratch Kevin Korchinski is now on.
It's like a week away, right? When do they get back? Thursday?
Yeah, Friday? He won't dress in the whatever first game they have back. It's fucking ridiculous. Anyway.
No, the only thing that I said, and again, I mentioned this last night, but I was looking at the Hawks calendar for March, and it is comical the amount of games that they have per week.
It really
I mean,
is.
It's like a playoff schedule for a full month and a half.
With travel.
They're playing every other day for essentially 6 weeks. So.
Well,
and I'm sure
Blas Ver and Brondell get here, they'll have a lot of games to play.
Imagine if you were a team that was actually competing for the playoffs, how that's going to be. That's essentially going to be like 5 months of nonstop hockey.
Yeah,
but they get a 2.5 week break in the middle of it. So,
well, not if you're a playoff team, because all of your good players are probably at this tournament right now.
Right. If you're the Avalanche, like half your roster's over there.
Yeah. But you've also given yourself enough cushion here. I think they basically clinched their
We lived this spot. With the 2010 and 14 Hawks, who had half the team over there. And
mm-hmm.
But I think when the playoffs come around, teams that end their series early, that's like going to be like a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you can win a series in 4 or 5 games and get like a week off, that's going to be a big deal. All right. Well, I will jump the gun a little bit. I will not get to the Cretans in order because we're still doing corners.
Didn't John have some
Do we have
it?
AFS? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Andrew had some chum.
I have a little bit of chum. Were you looking to provide chum as well, John, or not really?
I've got a couple things, yeah.
Are you in the how would you grade the season thread?
No, but I did want to point out the brain surgeons that we're working with on this thread. Just below that one, somebody posted, "What player from the 60s is this?" And it is the most recognizable Blackhawk of all time. Somebody asking, it's a picture of Bobby Hull with like as like a child or with a child.
Like as a game or as like a they're not sure who it is.
They weren't sure who it is.
Okay. Very important stuff going on in Hawks Reddit. I did before I get into the some funny stuff, and I'll kick it over to John here, but there was a story about how Stanislav Berezhnoi has been suspended 20 games for violating the AHL performance enhancing substance program. Does anyone know who that is?
Is he the goalie?
Yes.
Backup goaler
for Rockford.
Didn't he have like a big preseason game?
I don't know, Sam.
Probably.
I think he did.
Top commenter who will come up in a minute. AR Arm or whatever the fuck his name is. Worriedly asks, does Comesso have another backup? Do you have a life? Who gives a shit, man? Who fucking cares about the Rockford backup goalie?
My first question is, did we know the AHL had a drug testing policy?
I thought they were handing out drugs to people if you're in the AHL.
Especially Rockford.
They should. If you have to be in these cities, you should be able to do as many drugs as you want. Oh, God. Okay, well, anyway, I thought you would be shocked to learn that these people care about the backup goaler for the Rockford IceHogs. So the same guy... who he keeps coming up, and he's just so I feel bad. Don't like
no,
attack
don't.
This person or anything. But their pie in the sky is disturbing to me. So the prompt was, how would you grade the Blackhawks season thus far? I wrote G as a, you know, statement that nobody bothered to respond to, which is actually how I prefer it. But our own air traffic agent got into the mix here. I'm not going to read his stuff. You can go read it if you want. Here's what he wrote, the poster in the original post. With 25 games left, I would give this team a B, maybe a C plus if I'm being critical. If I'm being critical. What are you here for? What are, you're not here to be critical. What are you? What, okay, anyway. Even though we've cooled off from where we started, I mostly attribute that to having a young team. Bedard and Knight have been excellent, and I think Blash has done a good job overall. Young players have played well, IMO. Injuries have been an issue, though. Burakovsky especially has not been the same since returning from injury. Our power play has also been struggling and has probably cost us games, especially since our penalty kill is so good. I do think if I was judging from December on, I would be a lot harsher, LOL. Really hoping it was a case of our young players hitting a wall plus lingering issues with injuries. A lot more yikes games for sure, though. Definitely there are things that need to be addressed. Overall, this has been a much better season than the previous ones. Thinking we can finish strong. So this is the baseline with which this guy is operating from. I don't understand what this person is watching.
And then if you go through the comments, other than our very own air traffic AJ, a lot of the people are giving them B or C again. And the people that are saying that it's a D or an F or G are getting downvoted to Bolivia.
I know. And then this guy keeps replying to everybody too, because it's his thread.
Yeah.
And he's defending his grade, and he's like arguing with other people's grades. But you ask them what they
would you grade
of the season. How are you arguing with somebody's opinion? And
this is one of the few things that Ryan Lambert got right, is he renamed the power rankings to the power feelings, and because feelings are never wrong.
Exactly right. You can't argue with a feeling. This fucking guy keeps saying over and over again, because everybody's talking about how big of a disappointment Frank Nazar is. I think Nazar's first injury really threw him off, and he never fully healed. So he's under this impression that Nazar got hurt before he broke his jaw, came back, broke his jaw, and he's never been healed. And
he had a leg.
He's blaming everything on an injury. Fine, but it's
hockey, mister.
Yeah,
it's fine, but you're playing 30 games without scoring or whatever it is. Like, there's no injury that solves for that for me. If you're a guy who's supposed to be the second best forward on a team.
And you get banged up throughout the course of the NHL season.
Everybody does.
The really good players play through it, and they also still produce.
Yeah, he's not producing at all. And right. I think they're also very much underselling. So, like, here's someone who got downvoted, which is surprising to me, because I don't think anything he says here is crazy. Mr. Lamplighter 24 says, when looking at the organization as a whole, I'm giving it a C. The arrow is pointing downward on Korchinski, Levshinov, and Rinzel. So the quality of the defensive pipeline took a pretty big hit. If I'm KD, I'm leaning towards drafting a defenseman this year, but I don't know if his ego will allow it. Before his injury, Bedard finally looked
wait, whose ego?
Davidson.
Kyle Davidson's?
Yes. Before his injury, Bedard finally looked like he was well on his way to living up to the generational label, and I don't doubt he'll return to that level soon. In the first few weeks of the season, Nazar briefly looked like a core piece of the forward group going forward, but he hit a wall even before his injury. Lardis looks like a potential 25-goal scorer, and you have to feel good about how Frondell and Kantsarov are playing this year. So I don't think he says anything too crazy, but obviously the KD thing, the Davidson thing. Sam, I'd let you finish your wow thought if you wanted to. Dig into that.
The idea that Kyle Davidson would have an ego.
Well,
clearly he does.
He clearly does, because he refuses to veer off of whatever this crusade is.
Oh, I don't think that's ego. I think that's fear.
Okay, well, then
also,
you should change.
Are you going to tell the kids the grade you gave the Hawks in this thread?
I did. I said a G.
Okay.
Yeah. We're making up new grades. The argument that if you expected them to be slightly better, but they're still bad, so they deserve a C, is fine. I can see it. But I think if you're looking down the future and you're seeing almost every prospect who isn't Spencer Knight and Connor Bedard,
they're not. Those aren't prospects.
Away,
well, yeah, they're no longer prospects.
Fair enough. Fine. Then every prospect or young guy is just regressing. I don't know how you solve for that, or what this bright future is supposed to be coming from. I don't understand at all.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of hoping and wishing. Like, when these two guys from overseas get here, then everything is going to click just automatically.
One more thing I want to read from this effective elk person who seems to like try to be level-headed for the most part. He says, at the very least, I'm having a hard time calling this a good season, which a lot of people are thinking. They're calling it a good season because of the improvement on the point total. And he's like, he says, forget San Jose and forget about the tens of the teams that are massively exceeding expectations like Buffalo. If we're even at a C plus, where are teams like Seattle or Columbus? A plus plus?
I mean, it's not wrong.
No, he's not wrong. That's my point. This guy's actually saying,
but no one wants to hear it. Everyone wants to write their fan fiction. That's what it's a fan fiction forum. It's not for actual like discussion and hashing anything out.
Like the Blue Jackets aren't anything amazing, but when you look at a guy like Zach Werenski, whose career is remarkable, I think at this point, if you look through it, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
In complete maturity,
what he did from literally day one in this league. The Blue Jackets have him to rely on. So their floor is high, in my opinion, right? So when you – I haven't watched a lot of Blue Jackets game, but when they played the Hawks a couple times, they blew the Hawks off the ice. Like, it wasn't even competitive. Both times I saw the – am I wrong?
No.
It was bad. And it's like that's a team that's okay. And they kicked your ass, like, badly. I don't know where this leap is coming from to get even to be an average hockey team.
I don't have an opinion. I don't know what this is.
That's a team that's 12 points better than you. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games, and they pissed
and they're nowhere near the playoffs.
And they're nowhere near the playoffs, and they beat your ass head to head. Just like uncompetitive games. Okay, John, you can take over from here.
No, I think those were the big ones. The only other one that I was going to mention was that there's a season ticket thread because the Blackhawks announced that the season tickets for next year are going to be increased. And so, of course, this is the greatest travesty to befall on these people, that the Hawks would dare raise the prices. This is what they get mad about. Even though there are still some of the hopelessly faithful that think that they're getting a deal because the Hawks are going to be, the stars of the NHL once again. But anyways, our guy, the one and only, the Schwartz Hockey, chimes in here on this thread. Mine went up 4.5%, taking the inclusion of parking into account. I'm probably renewing because I'm a diehard sucker. 10 upvotes. You don't have to say it, sir. We know. Otherwise, other than that, that was the only other one that I was going to mention is just that there's some people here talking about how the prices went up and the team is spinning its wheels, and then people are telling them why they're wrong. They improved by 9 points from 2 years ago to last year and are on pace to finish with 15 more points than last season. Their franchise player, after a solid but unspectacular sophomore campaign, was playing like a Hart candidate before getting hurt this year, and he's still only 20 years old. If that equals spinning their wheels in the mud, I'm not sure what to tell you. Well, what does it mean, sir or ma'am? Means you're fine with paying those prices? Because this is heading somewhere? Where is this heading? Right now, it looks like it's heading towards in the hunt for a wild card and getting mauled by the Avalanche or thereabouts in 5 games.
In 5 years.
Yeah, in five years. I was going to say, not anytime soon.
But anyways, I don't want to, we have plenty of time to talk about the Hawks and where they're headed. But yeah, that was the only other one. And again, the Bobby Hall one, somebody posting a picture is either like their dad as a kid or their grandfather as a kid, standing next to a young Bobby Hall and somebody saying, what player from the 60s is this? As though it's not the most recognizable player in the history of the franchise. And perhaps all of hockey history.
Yeah, he is.
Who is that? I don't know.
Well, John, you must be one of those new bandwagon Hawks fans.
It must be.
Because everybody's jumping on the bandwagon of the worst team in the sport for the last 10 years.
Yep.
Accumulatively.
Post the thing in Google and it'll tell you in 2 seconds who that is, or just do a Google search yourself.
because they want Black Hawks players from the 60s. They want the Reddit votes.
They want that karma. Yeah.
Yeah. They want that top 1% contributor badge that only the finest get, like Schwartz hockey. That's enough.
They're amongst us. They're amongst us.
Back in the box until, I don't know.
Next week, I guess. Before we get right to the Cretans, there's one Cretan I want to put ahead of the others, because I know John and Slack have been looking forward to this, as I mentioned. We have had a request for Traitor's Corner.
What a show.
Love it.
I got a guy at work who watches it, too. I'm trying to get everybody else to start watching it, but...
Now, there's a British and an American version, yes
correct.
Or no?
A UK
actually,
version.
Every country has a version, it turns out.
Yeah. Like Taskmaster.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it's a very easy to produce show.
Right.
I suppose the games are sometimes a little overproduced, but they're Alan the show itself.
Cumming hosts the one here.
Correct.
Yep. Okay.
So here's my one Traitor's thought, and I've been thinking about this all week, Andrew, because I was going to bring it up if the Cretan didn't ask. And I'll try to keep it brief, but on one hand, I do want to give Rob credit. Yeah. I do think that he is doing probably about as well of a job as a traitor that anybody in the history of the show has done. Because nobody has any clue about him, but also I do feel like this cast is a bunch of complete fucking morons. And I also think one of the things that Rob is doing that is keeping him off the radar is he's basically acting exactly like Dylan Efron did all last season. So he's just doing that. He's just acting like him. And everybody's just like, well, Dylan Efron wasn't a traitor, so clearly this guy's not either.
Yeah, I guess. I feel like Dylan Efron had the Pilot Pete kind of archetype where he was like trying to be the ringleader of all the faithfuls, and that always gets you kicked off because that was Colton, who's really right. fucking annoying.
Oh, he was awful. That was like a credit to Rob for doing that masterfully, where he put it on Candace and she murdered him right away, and everybody was like, well, clearly Candace is a traitor because Colton hated her.
She lost her mind after Lisa got voted out. She decided to play with her heart, which gets you killed.
So I want to give him credit for doing a good job and playing it well, but I also do feel like that nobody is ever questioning him, and this group just seems like they're trying to play five-dimensional chess with a bunch of fucking morons. And
I think it's like Kristen Kish, who Matt knows. She's on the show, by the way.
Will we be doing Top Chef Corner then?
We can always do Top Chef Corner. She is like the most confidently wrong person right now, like every week where she looks...
Well, they all are.
Deadly serious, and she looks a hole through you like she does when she's judging. And she'll say Tara Lipinski is a traitor, which could not be possible in any world.
And then like, also
just
like,
could not be.
This whole group is like... They're like, oh, that's such a red flag that Johnny and Tara are so close. And it's like, what fucking planet have you been living on for the last 20 years?
They're literal best friends, and everybody in the world knows. Like,
everybody knows
how
it.
How this is a thing.
Ooh, oh, that's like such a red flag this? Now. We should be looking to split them up. Like, what have you been doing for the past 12 episodes?
Michael Rappaport thoroughly humiliated himself over like three or four weeks. It was incredible.
So bad. And then Ron Funches was great, and they got rid of him.
Yep.
He sort of made a mistake, but then like all you got to do is think about it logically. Like clearly he made a mistake or that woman who misspoke.
Yeah.
It was an honest mistake. It wasn't like Ron was like trying to throw the people off clearly he's a traitor. And they're like, well, we don't. And when he got voted off, they were like, well, we don't know if you're a traitor or not, but we have to find out.
Right.
You guys are idiots.
I thought his speech before he got voted off was one of the best save yourself speeches I ever heard. I'm surprised it didn't work.
Yeah. Well, Johnny saved himself this past week. Well, with the help of Tara. But yeah, I mean, I think that this group is just the biggest collections of morons that they've ever found.
Well,
so kudos to Alan and the team.
I don't think you're necessarily wrong. However, maybe you haven't seen this. There's no dumber cast than the season 2 of Australia cast. If you haven't watched
Okay.
Season two of Australian Traitors, which was so fucking bad. The show got canceled. Do it immediately because it is like you'll be screaming at your TV. It is unbelievable. It makes this look like a bunch of Sherlock Holmes sitting around a table. Please watch it. Make time for it.
Okay.
As soon as you're done with this or whatever, if you need something to watch, all right, watch it. Put it on with Jess. It is supreme entertainment. Just, it's unfucking believable. And the ending is worth it. So just do it.
Okay.
You have to do it.
All right. I'm in. You sold me. That was Traitor's Corner. I don't have anything else unless Andrew does.
No, that's perfect. It's a good corner.
Well, that's all I have for the Creedence. I don't know what's on the main feed. So,
Andrew, do you have anything?
I got one from Kyle Graber, Dream Taskmaster contestants.
Oh, jeez.
I liked the one where it was if you could pick anyone from like AEW to be on it, which four people would you pick?
What did
Rather
you pick?
Than everyone in the history of the world, which is
right.
So I don't know.
Well, Jason Mantzoukas probably would have been on my list, so I got that. Jeez, oh God, yeah, it's so open-ended. How do you even, you know, you need someone who's like a goofball.
Like, you know, if there was an American, like an all-Americans version or something.
Well, they tried that.
Conan?
No, because he tries too hard.
That's fair.
It doesn't come naturally to him.
That eliminates a lot of American like comedians.
Yeah, it does.
I'm Googling like who could be considered like good for this, and it's like Eric Andre. That's too much.
He'd be pretty good though. Susie/Eddie Izzard would have been on my list. She might be too old now, but they've had old people on Taskmaster. So
they have old people on all the time.
Yeah. Eric Andre would be pretty good. Kumail's on the next season, so you know I now have officially I have someone I know.
Is he just gonna bench press the whole time?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm trying. Eric Andre is close. I'm trying to. Someone from the cast of the Gemstones would have to work.
Edie Patterson.
Hello. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. So you need to think in that vein, like shows like that. So Craig Anderson.
That's not a bad. Craig Anderson, the
goalie. Craig Anderson. Craig.
Craig Robinson.
Craig Robinson. Craig Robinson.
The black
Craig
guy Robinson. From the south side of Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the goaler from Barrington.
Actually, you know what? Just the entire cast of Southside. I want them on. I want them on Taskmaster. Anyway, it's too open-ended. We'll have to narrow it down.
Too open-ended. I agree.
I've only got a couple on the main feed. Jeff would like to know, why can't we have nice things, parenthetically, like Hockey Canada losing?
They might yet.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hang tight.
It's still Jordan Binnington in net. I cannot live in a world where I cannot believe that Jordan Binnington will cost them. Like, I'm sorry.
At some point it does. Yeah. He's not going to keep coming through in these situations.
It's Jordan Binnington.
And he's what is he, like 38 now?
Not quite that old, but he's in his 30s.
I'm pretty sure like mid to late 30s.
Entirely different era.
Completely different era.
Jordan Binnington, it will be 33 in July.
Bullshit. He faked it.
All right, and then the last one is our guy AJ would just like to know who is going to tool at the Las Vegas Sphere residency.
There's already a text thread about it amongst my
friends. Is it official or rumored?
No, it's hardly official. They're talking about it, but...
Okay. Could they get enough people in there for him?
Well, that's what they're talking about. So the drummer did an interview where he said they're talking about it, but apparently the Sphere is so expensive to rent or lease or whatever. You have to do a lot of shows there to break even. And he was like, we're not sure we can sell out enough shows to make it worth our while.
I think they'll do all right.
I mean, I'm going. But, yeah, so Thank God it's over a year away. So if it happens, but Metallica is apparently talking about doing a residency.
It holds
there.
20K, including Gross. The floor, 17.
Does it really hold that much?
Its official capacity is 20K on the nose, including the floor. Seated is 17.6.
Well,
I wish I was dumb enough to pay a fortune to go see these old dumb fucks piss their way through another concert. Jesus,
you're talking
Christ.
Metallica, right?
Who the fuck wants to watch this? Yes.
I've never seen Metallica live.
Cliff died.
Yeah, Cliff's dead. Everyone should
have been Lars.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard.
Should have been Lars. Everyone knows, all my friends know how the one time I saw Metallica handicaps me from ever being truly happy, so we don't have to go through that. But I had a friend who, they were here last summer or the summer before at Soldier Field.
Gross.
Maybe the summer. I think it was this past summer they were here.
And that's where you want to see him. Soldier Field.
Yeah. Cool. An old friend of mine, she and I have been friends since we were 13 years old or whatever, texted me like a week before. She's like, hey, I got an extra ticket to Metallica. Do you want to go? And I was like, you know my policy on Metallica. And she's like, well, actually, I don't. I'm like, then we're not friends. Like, if you don't know this, like, I don't know how to explain this to you. But yeah. Anyway, AJ, we'll talk.
Sam, could you tell the kids what your policy on Metallica is?
I don't go see Metallica anymore. Ever.
Okay. That's the only policy.
That's
that
the only policy.
Have.
They broke my heart once, and that's enough. And I've talked about this with Scott Lucas at length of Local H. So I don't have to do it anymore.
And if anyone would understand.
I think he sort of understood. But
well, how much does he understand anyone or anything?
We were both very drunk, so it's fine. All right, that's our show. One more plug. Tomorrow night on Josh OC's a Patreon from Wrestling Brain, Slack and I will be reviewing TNA. He promises me it won't be that painful.
No, it is. It's horrible. It's really okay. Bad. It's really 2 hours are very difficult to get through.
Okay.
But once you do, it's very funny.
I'm
it's
telling
worth
you
it.
Now, Slack, I'm coming into that review hot.
That's the only way to come in.
Okay. So check that out. We will tweet out links, I'm sure, or Scoop Blue Sky links, whatever you want to say.
Yeah, definitely.
So follow us on Blue Sky and we will let you know where that is. When it's available. But until then, and until next week, for Sam, or I'm Sam, for Slack, for John, for Matt, I am Sam. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, share, and subscribe to the newsletter. Until next week, Top Guys out.